Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by CuriosityStream, a subscription streaming service that offers over 1,500 documentaries and nonfiction series from the world's best filmmakers. Get unlimited access starting at just $2.99 a month. And for our audience, the first 2 months are completely free if you sign up at CuriosityStream.com/twit and use the offer code TWIT. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with a fast, easy, and completely online process. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/android. And welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 295, recorded on Tuesday, December 6th, 2016. We are your weekly source of the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell. Oh, say that again, Ron.
I'm Ron Richards.
I can't do this without hearing you. All right.
And I am Florence Ion. The surprise has been spoiled.
Oh, man. Our surprise guest is Florence Ion. She's back.
I'm back.
She's back.
She survived.
From her honeymoon. How was it?
Now, you guys, New Zealand is an amazing country. Go visit it. If you ever see a plane ticket on sale, just go. Pack up the family. Put them in a car. Just drive.
I have a question for you, Flo, about New Zealand, specifically about your trip. Were you able to enjoy the country? Did you put your phone down at any point and actually enjoy it?
I took Twitter off my phone. I deactivated my Facebook. The only thing I had was Instagram and Snapchat because my friends still wanted to
the visual.
We made little stories because that's how Eric.
Oh, I know. I was sitting there watching them going, oh, Flo, put your phone down. Go enjoy it. Don't do this.
We did.
I know you're a millennial, but put the phone down.
Well, I did. I will say I did use the phone a lot. I used Android Pay everywhere.
Really?
In New Zealand.
Cool. All over the place in New
Zealand. All over the place. And the thing is, they didn't know I could use it. And by the way, over there, they call it PayWave, which is adorable.
I've never even heard that.
I've never heard of it either. I was like, what's PayWave? And they're like, you know, when you pay with your phone. I'm like, oh,
okay.
NFC?
I thought you were saying Google, it's Google PayWave.
No,
and I was like, wait a minute, what?
It's just the Kiwi PayWave. Way. They Got call it. It PayWave.
The Kiwi way. Look, you're already a native.
And,
it's the Kiwi way.
And a lot of them were very just like, they were sort of entranced by it because I was using this non-iPhone. You know, Android Pay just came out there a couple days ago. But I was using it with
But it was everywhere. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, I was using it with my USA credentials. And also, every time I used it, it came up this little cute animation. So the person on the other end would see, the animation on my screen and go, oh, that's so cute. Because I would just get, a little Android guy in a, turkey costume. And
I want to go to New Zealand. I've always wanted
Very
to
cool.
go.
Go in the off season.
Okay.
Between October and November.
I'll go next off
cheapest.
Season. Yeah. You told me to.
Yeah, you should.
I really should.
No, you really
should. We all should, shouldn't we?
We should take an stop with the ideas, Flo.
Okay, yes. No, to peel back on the ideas because we've got something very, very special.
True.
We recorded something a little bit earlier. Let's check it out. So the Pixel phones, as we know, were first unveiled 2 months ago, with Google finally making its mark in both hardware design as well as its new Google-ear approach with Android, above and beyond what we always talk about on the show with vanilla Android. And Brian, I believe we have a guest to talk about that. Can you pull up the Hiroshi graphic? Thank you. So I can ask Hiroshi, how are things going 2 months later?
I think things are going great. You know, we've gotten great reviews for the Pixel, and so it was nice to have more devices out there running Android.
You're actually online. Woo! It's Hiroshi Lockheimer, SVP of Android, Chrome OS, and Play. This is a really big moment for us. I have to thank you first and foremost for taking some time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
Thanks for having me. And that was incredibly distracting to see myself talk, but I've never done that before. That was cool. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a bit that we've had on the show. I mean, dating back as far as Andy Rubin, when we first started the show, we would have What Would Andy Say? And I mean, all along the board. So anyways, it's really great to get you on and to talk to you a little bit about what we talk about all the time. Android.
Yep.
Android stuff.
All about Android.
That's right. So I guess let's just jump right into it. So obviously, like I was saying, Pixel, I have it. I love it.
I have one
I'm
too.
Using it. We're really enjoying this phone. How's it going? I mean, you're now a month into kind of the consumer availability, and you've had a lot of plans, of ideas about kind of this rebranding of moving forward into this elevated new era of design for Google. What's your take 1 month in?
Well, it's like I said, you know, it's been great to see the positive reviews, and it's great to see people using it. I feel like from my perspective, we can't lose because Pixel is a great phone. The Galaxy S7, you know, is a great phone. There's a lot of the OnePlus is a great phone. There's just so many great Android devices out there now that it just feels like life's great.
Why is it so important at this particular moment? Like, obviously, we've seen a lot of different iterations of what kind of Google's approach for Android has been over the years. And now we're kind of in this new era of Google being very much in control of its own flavor to kind of compete with other partners, which I have to imagine, you know, after all these years of working with partners, now you're a competitor. So that might even complicate things too a little bit. Why is this transition important right now in the evolution of Android?
Yeah, I would, you know, I actually don't really see us competing with other Android partners. And just to be clear, there's a separate team of people within Google. You know, Rick Osterloh, you saw him at the event on October 4th. You know, it's his team that builds the Pixel. My team, you know, I'm responsible for Android, Chrome OS, and Play, as you can see on that thing down there. you know, I work with all partners, including the internal Google hardware team, but I also work with Samsung. I work with LG. I work with yada, yada, yada. You know, you get the point that all the partners that we have. And I don't see it as us competing with them. We continue to partner with them. I think for the Pixel specifically, they're really trying to capture new users of smartphones as well as users who are perhaps on other platforms. It's always nice to expand the pie for Android, not sort of change the look of the pie internally, but to expand the pie, right? So mm-hmm. I think you've seen a lot of things that the Pixel team have done around really catering the marketing message around iPhone users. And you know, highlighting some of the great things about Android, which obviously I appreciate, but spreading that word.
So Hiroshi, you did talk about some of the other smartphone players out there. Do you know how they've sort of seen this Pixel, how they see Google's entrance against them sort of thing? I mean, how would you, what's been sort of the response to the Pixel among the other phones out there?
Yeah, if you think about it, Nexus, Pixel, you know, it's called different things, but Google has been doing hardware for a while now. So from that perspective, I don't think the partners were surprised. In fact, in many cases, I let them know that this was coming so that they every year they ask about Nexus. I told them, well, this year it's going to be called something else. But they're used to it. And I think the Pixel device is a very premium sort of price point and so on device. And Android, as you know, it goes from, you know, high to low, like the entire range of devices, right? So there's just a lot of room, I think, a lot of partners target different audiences. So far, so good. People are excited. It also, I think, you know, we were just talking about this earlier today. A lot of attention, I've noticed at least a lot of articles, for instance, that talk about iOS users now thinking about switching to Android, not necessarily Pixel, but some Android device. And that's a great thing for the platform.
This is true.
So yeah, we've seen all the enthusiasm around the Pixel launch. I think a lot of it had to do with the brand shift from Nexus to Pixel. It's a new thing. But we heard a lot about the development process for Pixel being kind of really condensed and happened in a short amount of time. What was that experience like if you're working with the Pixel team like another partner, but they happen to be a partner under your roof? What was it like to go from idea to conception to actually shipping a product?
Yeah, we do this every year. You know, we start developing the new device around the time we're launching the current device, which is, you know, about obviously 12 months or so, which is not a lot of time. It's always kind of a mad rush to get it done. You know, the important thing from my perspective is, you know, we don't like to build Android the platform in the abstract. We always like to do it in the context of a specific device so that we understand how the operating system actually performs in real life. And so that's always an important thing. And then we want to have a device that we can use to really test out the latest features and so on. So it's always a mad rush to get that done. But it's always fun too. It keeps it entertaining and exciting.
Absolutely. So obviously, the work that you oversee, the teams that you oversee, it's more on the software side, I would say. Android, Chrome OS, Play, all things we're very familiar with and use and live and breathe every single day and night. So, well, thank you for creating an awesome platform that gives us so much to talk about and live with. Messaging is a topic that comes up time and time again in Android circles, because it always seems like everybody wants something out of their messaging on Android that they don't necessarily have 100%. Allo, in some ways, seems like it's stalled a little bit based on at least public-facing install numbers and rankings of the Play Store. It seems like things have kind of slowed down. It went through the gate initially strong, and then it seems like, you know, maybe it's tapered off. RCS, which launched last month, is a great stepping stone, but, you know, it's kind of super limited on the support side and a little bit convoluted there. Hangouts, once kind of, you know, encompassed all of these things, and then it's kind of paled back. So the messaging kind of approach gets a little confusing from a consumer perspective. What has made this road so confusing, and what is the light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, I think if you take a step back and look at messaging apps in general, there's also WhatsApp, there's Facebook Messenger, you know, Telegram, so on and so on. So there are many different messaging apps out there, and that's consumer choice, you know, and that's a good thing. As for the messaging apps that come from Google, Hangouts is very much focused on the enterprise use case now. I use Hangouts all the time, you know, as a sort of a Google employee. A lot of our messages internally are through Hangouts with my colleagues. I use Allo to communicate with my wife and the Google Assistant, by the way, which is always fun. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I tweet about the jokes it tells me and things like that. the RCS support in Messenger, that's really, you know, the way we see RCS in discussing RCS with our operator partners, that's really the future, the evolution of SMS. So it's kind of hard to imagine a phone that wouldn't support SMS. So why wouldn't we support RCS? That's kind of how we look at it. Sure. It's kind of table stakes.
Sure. You mentioned Assistant. Yeah. Might as well talk about that. It's integrated, obviously, into Allo. And then, you know, I'm pretty sure all of us at the table here have Google Home. Yes. Really enjoying playing around with Google Home. And I feel like, at least personally, I feel like Google Home is, I can see the fruits of Assistant a little bit more in Google Home than I do in Allo personally. But are we going to see a time when Assistant is kind of opened up for all devices outside of Google's umbrella? Right now, it seems like Assistant is really kind of one of the exclusives for Pixel. But I mean, it behooves Google for this to be a service that everyone has access to, right?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, Google is about everyone. And that includes, regardless of what operating system they use.
Sure.
So I think you can imagine, and by the way, this is not my area of responsibility, right? But you can imagine that's sort of how Google looks at the world, is how do we get our services out there to as many people as possible? But important to realize that for Assistant, it's still early days as a category. It's still early days. And there's sort of it's a moment in time thing, you know, where it's available on Allo today in a very limited set of languages. You can anticipate there'll be more languages supported as well, and so on. So over time, you'll see the Assistant get to more devices, just like we did with Google Now, by the way, right? Google Now launched, I forget what year, 2012, I think it was, when it was with Jelly Bean.
Sounds about right.
On Android first, but now it's available on iOS as well. So it's just the Google way, right, to sort of get it out there and iterate and get it on as many platforms and reach as many people as possible.
Sure.
Yeah, so picking up on that and actually mentioning, you know, that one of the areas that you oversee is Google Play. One of the kind of criticisms we deal with on a weekly basis as we're talking about Android is, you know, the Google Play Store and enabling developers to actually monetize their apps and be able to earn revenue through the Google Play Store, and how Android users don't spend money and that sort of thing. How do you feel about, you know, building the Android ecosystem and the Google Play Store to make it a place to attract developers and make great apps?
Well, obviously really important for Google Play for there to be really happy developers, really happy consumers as well, users. And so we're constantly working on making sure that we achieve both things. There are many developers of Android who make a lot of money, who, you know, I remember hearing a few years ago, a Japanese developer, they went public based on their business off of Play, you know, and so there are many success stories out there. Most of the apps these days, you know, do support Google Play and Android. So it's a, I think it's a great platform for developers, and we're always getting feedback on how we can improve not only Google Play, but Android as a whole. And that also then ends up, you know, making consumers happy.
Right. Well, actually, to follow up on that, one kind of area of frustration has been the general organization of the Google Play Store, you know, between the, you know, apps and games showing up in the app section and the confusion between paid apps versus free apps and things like that. And that's, you know, a lot of people are that leads to some of the issues where I think one statistic that we talked about a few weeks ago was that 60% of the apps in the Play Store have never even been downloaded. Is there going to be any efforts around cleaning up the Play Store or optimizing that experience to make it both more meaningful for users as well as helping the developers in the process?
Yeah, I think we're constantly evolving the user experience for Play. You know, if you look at, I remember there was an article, it might've been ours, Ron probably, you know, cause he's amazing, right? He like catalogs everything.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
Shout out to Ron, I guess. You know, if you look at the history of the Play Store and how it's evolved, how we've changed the categories around, how we sort of make it easier for you to search things and find related applications and so on, we're always working on those iterations to make it easier for users to find the apps that they want and also that we think they might want. They may not even know that they want it, but, you know, maybe we can, based on sort of signals that we have based on other apps that they've downloaded in the past, we can recommend other apps to them and so on. So we're always looking at ways to improve that.
You mentioned iOS earlier, so I have to follow up with this. What is the iOS versus Android strategy at Google? You know, we got Google Now first, which was awesome. But is that sort of, are we going to continue to see that as Android users? And, you know, what can iPhone users expect, I guess?
Well, I think, you know, I think, again, for Google, the purpose of Google, like Google.com, you can get to Google.com through any device, right? Whether that's a Windows PC, a Mac, iOS device, or you know, Android devices, or anything else. And so that's kind of the core of Google is it's about everyone. So that you'll continue to see that from Google. I think our job with Android is to make a platform that customers enjoy and want to use because there's just so much diversity. You know, we think one size doesn't need to fit all. So one of the core ideas behind Android is that, first of all, it's open source and manufacturers can take it and they can customize it and make it their own. There's devices that, you know, of different sizes and different colors and different price points and sold in different channels. And that's all intentional. That's not something that just happened randomly. Like we intended that to happen. And so that's how we plan on evolving the platform and continuing to sort of invest in the platform. And then developers, you know, have been very successful on Android as well. And that all sort of, that's all all the players in the ecosystem, the manufacturers, operators, developers, obviously users. And you know, we play a role in that in making sure that that is a sort of a healthy sort of ecosystem that way.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk a little bit about Nougat, and I guess more specifically, like we, you know, every month, actually we've kind of fallen out of the habit of this a little bit of checking in on platform distribution numbers, because very often it's like, what can I say now? That number moved a couple of digits. Okay, great. Moving on. But I mean, let's take a look at this month, for example. New platform distribution numbers released. Nougat sits at 0.4%. Now, admittedly, it hasn't been out very long, but 0.4% is a pretty low percentage. As head of Android, how does it feel when a new version comes out, when you release a new version and it takes a long time to build momentum? I mean, we talk a lot on the show about how users feel about that, you know, kind of their frustration of not being able to get access to the new versions or whatever. But when you're heading this department, and I have to imagine this means a lot to you, how does it feel when it takes so long for these versions to kind of expand to everybody?
Yeah. You know, by the way, just real quick, I was in France last week, and it's Nougat. It's not.
I know. I know.
Yeah, my father, my Romanian father, already corrected me on the pronunciation.
I was going to say many of our audience is going to be cheering for Hiroshi right now.
Listen, I was there for 12 hours. I am clearly an expert in French now. There's a whole town. Did you hear about this? There's this whole town where they celebrated for weeks. The fact that this is a town where they are famous for their nougat, where they apparently invented it. And so I think it's called Monte Lima. They celebrated this amazing sort of citywide celebration that they had. So I heard about that in France. But anyway.
We can blame Snickers for most of us calling it nougat. Okay, I'm going to pass the blame to someone else.
Yeah.
That seems fair.
All right.
But back to your question. Is it frustrating? Absolutely. Very frustrating. But I keep a couple of things in mind when I get frustrated. The first thing, there's 1.4 billion Android devices out in the world today. So any percentage of that is a big number.
That's true.
And moving, updating software to that many devices is just naturally, it's just going to take a little bit of time. Now, should it take as long as it does take today? No, I don't think so. I think it's very frustrating that it does. And so what do we do about it? We are working on a number of things, technical as well as I would call it evangelism, with the manufacturers and operators to make it clear to them why it's important. And also on the technical front, back to the technical side, changing the OS in ways to make it easier for manufacturers to update their devices so that it's less work for them. One of the things we hear from manufacturers or chipset providers like Qualcomm or MediaTek, just use them as examples, is that sometimes when updating the operating system, there's a lot of work involved for them. So we're learning from that and making changes to the OS to make it less work for them. So those are the kinds of things. But yeah, it is definitely, obviously you've created this new thing. You want it to be, 100%, the next minute. But it's just not practical given the scale of Android.
Speaking of the scale of Android, I have been following Android for a really long time. I think all of us have. We're big fans. And I always felt we were big fans before we were covering this. But yes, I've always felt like every sort of administration, as I like to call it, has their own sort of theme over their
style.
Leadership, yep. Their approach, their style. So I always felt like, Rubin's vision, Andy Rubin's vision for Android was propagating it. Sundar Pichai's vision was to diversify Android's reach while also, kind of unifying it with the other Google tech. So Hiroshi, I'm super curious, what's your sort of goal, overarching reach? What do you see for Android's future under your watch?
Well, I was hoping you would tell me because you had it down for Andy and Sundar. So I was wondering how you thought I got. I was excited to hear your something. Of my tenure so far,
I
think that's a no
I can't
comment.
I can't comment on that.
I think it's the same. The goal of Android has been again to create this platform that is super super flexible and we use the word open a lot, but it really is that word. It's open source. The policies around it are very open. We have a very liberal license, Apache 2.0, that makes it possible for manufacturers to really make it their own while maintaining compatibility, because that's what they wanted, right? They wanted sort of a platform where there could be apps, a thriving app ecosystem, but still be different from their competitors, which is a natural thing. I don't know if we probably haven't talked about this, but if you could give me just 30 seconds to sort of tell you a quick story from 10 years ago. We at Google as an app developer, this is literally, back in 2006 or even before that, Google as an app developer, let's use Google Maps as an example, Google Maps for mobile, as it was known back then. That app ran on, multiple versions of Symbian. There was BlackBerry, there was J2ME, there was Brew. There are all these different platforms out there. What I hear is that that app team back in 2006 or 2005, they had literally 300 versions or over 300 versions of that one app just to support all the different platforms out there.
Dang.
And they ended up spending most of their time porting their app from one platform to another rather than focusing on innovations and new functionalities. And that's where Android came from. Android was really about, well, how do we solve that problem? As an app developer, as Google, as an app developer, how can we solve that problem so that there can be a diverse set of devices out there, but with a common app platform? And that the result is Android, right? So it's really always been about scale, but a consistent ecosystem and platform. And that, you know, we call that Google Play. And you know, having that sort of flywheel going, you know, the developers, you asked earlier, you know, about sort of the health of the developer businesses. You know, that's why that's so important to us, because that's really what it's all about. And of course, consumers too, of being able to choose all these different devices. So that I think continues throughout my quote administration, as you called it.
It's just a silly little terminology. That's all.
So in terms of talking about how things are discussed internally and how you guys handle your workload with the various different projects you're working on, one thing that's there in your little title on your green bar is Chrome OS. And it was around this time last year that there was all those wild rumors running around that you guys were going to merge Android and Chrome OS. And then, you know, we saw Google I.O. and we saw the interoperability between the two platforms. But let's say, you know, you're at a holiday party and someone asks you, what's the difference between Chrome OS and Android? How do you answer that to the average person?
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Between Chrome OS and Android? Well, you know, I think they target very different users. You know, Android, the starting point of Android, as you know, was phones. And of course, over time, we've evolved that to include tablets and watches and TVs and cars and now IoT devices and so on. And the starting point for Chrome OS, was, laptops. The CR48 was the first laptop that they showed years ago at a Google I.O. I think it was Sundar who actually demonstrated that. It was a laptop. Now, obviously, there's Chrome OS devices running on sort of desktops now as well. But I think the starting points are very different. Chrome OS, and you were asking about updates earlier. You know, another difference with Chrome OS is that the software updates are managed by Google, right? So pretty much every 6 weeks, just like the Chrome browser, Chrome OS updates itself. And there was a lot of effort put into that update mechanism by the team who built Chrome OS to make sure that would be possible. The starting points are very different. You know, Chrome OS, by the way, extremely successful in education. About 50% of U.S. Students in public schools now use Chromebooks, and so that's a big deal. It's the number one platform in education, more than any of the other platforms combined. And so we're very proud of that. I think it was in Q1 of this year, at least in the US, Chrome OS is now the number two sort of desktop OS platform, right? So there's Windows, there's Chrome OS, and then there's Macs. So I think we're very fortunate as a company to have two very successful platforms, each in their own way and in their own segments. And what you're seeing, all these rumors about merging these things. Like for us, there's no point in merging them. They're both successful. We just want to make sure that both sides benefit from each other. So that's why we brought the apps, Google Play from Android over to Chrome OS. And then, for instance, the update mechanism from Chrome OS to Nougat, so that there's what we call AB updates, where you just reboot and you're already updated. So you'll see a lot more of that happening, where we're sort of cross-pollinating, but not sort of a merge.
Excellent. Cool. That's really exciting. I'm a big Chrome OS fan, and the kind of bringing the porting over, whatever you want to call it, of Android apps into Chrome OS, I just think it makes it so much more valuable for so many different use cases. I have a question about the EU, because obviously right now the European Union has some big concerns with Android. It's continually in the news. They say that Android limits consumer choice because of all the kind of interconnected Google services within the platform. Last month, Google stated in a filing that Android has never been more competitive. What's your take on this? Is there a possibility that similar complaints like this is going to kind of penetrate the U.S. and that this is going to become a much bigger nut to crack for you guys?
Yeah, well, I can't predict the future, so I don't know what other countries will do. But what I can say about the European Union, specifically the European Commission case, is that, we feel, and this is what I was explaining earlier, just the openness of Android. We feel like we've brought more competition, right? We were able to enable, 1.4 billion devices coming from a variety of different manufacturers, all competing with each other, and Apple, by the way, to the market, while still maintaining sort of this consistent app development environment for developers, so that as a manufacturer, by the way, the story I told you about Google Maps 10 years ago, that was bad for consumers, obviously, because now as a consumer, you're like, well, okay, I can buy this phone, but I'm not sure if Google Maps is going to work on this. That was a bad thing for consumers.
Right.
It was also bad for manufacturers because they were spending a lot of time and energy developing an operating system, which cost money, and they weren't sure if important apps would show up on their platform because app developers had to pick which ones to, so it was just bad for everyone. And here comes Android. We designed it that way where it could sort of solve those problems. And it wasn't because of some sort of magic. It was because we were, as a developer, facing that same problem that we decided we wanted to solve that problem. So I think a platform like Android that has fostered competition, has created opportunities, for manufacturers, for developers, for hopefully consumers, I think it's unprecedented, certainly at this scale, something that's this open, that's open source, it's never been done before. And so I think, fundamentally what we're trying to accomplish and what the European Commission is trying to accomplish is the same thing, which is more competition, a healthy ecosystem, and so on. We just have to work through the process to make sure that they fully understand our viewpoints and our sort of supporting data. And by the way, if you're interested, I'm sure you've looked at this. There's a blog post by Kent Walker, who's a Google employee, who talks about sort of our response to the European Commission. I think that really resonated with me when I read that.
Agreed.
This interview is so serious. Hiroshi, we have a very important question for you.
Oh, no. Yes.
Uh-oh.
Here it comes.
Of all the apps in the giant Play Store, besides ones that Google makes, because that's not fair, what is one of your absolute favorite apps that you can't live without?
If
you were to bring one app to the Android arena,
yes.
Which
no,
is what
perfect,
we do here.
Perfect. That's an even better way to put it.
What app would you bring to the arena?
What app would I bring to the what?
The arena. Well, okay, this is Inside Baseball now. Our app review segment is called the app arena.
Yes, where we battle each other out.
I see. I get it. What app would I bring? It kind of changes. I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of a hard question to answer. What's yours?
Right now?
But I can answer right Google now. Maps because I don't work for Google.
Mine will be the one that I'm bringing today, which I don't want to spoil. So another one would be Authy because I use it every single day and it keeps me secure. Boom.
Huh. That's
I literally good. Can't get anywhere in the Bay Area without Google Maps. I'm useless.
That's true.
I'm very useless without it.
No, what about you?
I was groaning because I was gonna say I gotta say the app I probably use the most is WhatsApp.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
I use that a lot. Good. I'm living on that app these days.
A lot of people use WhatsApp. I think that's great. Yeah. I like Instagram. I think that's fun. That's a fun app.
You do. I follow you on Instagram. I like your Instagrams, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. It's fun. It kind of lets me try to be creative. And then it doesn't require too much thought. Like I don't have to type anything sort of very thoughtful there. So it's kind of nice. Twitter is kind of fun too, but sometimes it can be exhausting. What else? I don't know. I like to catch up on the news. I know you said I can't use a Google app, but I will just throw this out there.
It's okay. Go ahead.
I use Chrome a lot. Like I like to browse the web, and it's kind of funny to think of it as an app because it's also a platform, but I think it's a great thing to have on phones.
Absolutely.
Cool. Totally a platform.
Thank you, Hiroshi. We know that you have to get going. We know that you are a very busy man and you've got a busy schedule, and we are just thrilled that you even took the time today to chat with us because we've been hoping that we could get you on the show for a really long time.
So hey, really appreciate it. Thank you for everything you do. We really appreciate all the sort of the attention you give to Android. I mean, I think that's great. So really appreciate that.
Well, it's all driven by a passion that we have for the platform and just the amount of fun that we've had over the years. So so thanks again for all of your hard work. Hiroshi Lockheimer, SVP of Android, Chrome OS, and Play at Google. Also on Twitter at Lockheimer. Have a wonderful evening, Hiroshi. Thank you again.
Thank you, Hiroshi.
Thanks, bye.
All right. Thanks, have a good night. All right, so we just wrapped up that awesome interview, had a great time hanging out with Hiroshi, obviously, and now apparently we have, these cocktails here at the table because we had to come down a little bit.
It's ginger ale.
Oh, sorry. It's a ginger ale cocktail. Hey, Ron, got to pay the bills.
Got it. All right. So we want to thank CuriosityStream for helping us bring you All About Android on a weekly basis. CuriosityStream is the world's first ad-free nonfiction streaming service founded by John Hendricks, the founder of the Discovery Channel. They've got over 1,500 titles, over 600 hours of content, and over 50 hours of 4K content. So if you got one of those fancy 4K TVs, now's your chance to show it off. They're available in 196 countries worldwide, so pretty much all over the world. And you can get it on all the platforms you can think of. They've got a web app. They're on Roku. They've got Android, Chromecasts, on the Amazon Fire tablet, Amazon Kindle, and some of that stuff running on Apple TVs as well. They've got a variety of science and technology content, plus nature, history, and a ton more topics. In addition to documentaries, they've got interviews and lectures with amazing people. So listen, if you're into science, technology, really cool, interesting stuff, you're going to want to check out their library. They've got Stephen Hawking's Favorite Places, which is a brand new exclusive documentary in which Stephen Hawking pilots a fantastical CGI spaceship across the universe, making stops at Saturn and many of his favorite destinations. They've also got a show called Digits, which is this awesome three-part series hosted by Derek Mueller, the creator of the YouTube science channel Veritasium. Which explores online safety and security. And this series features some never-before-seen interviews with Edward Snowden, the famous former NSA contractor, and as well as the co-founder of the internet, Vint Cerf. That's right, the co-founder of the internet. He's a legend. You can watch that all on Digits. If you're into history, they've got a great show called Deep Time History, which is an exclusive three-part documentary that shows the story of the universe's 14-billion-year history all in three parts. It's amazing. It's got surprising twists and stories you thought you never knew. And if you're really into nature, you definitely want to check out the Underwater Wonders of the National Parks. In celebration of the National Park Service's centennial year, this exclusive seven-part series takes you on a journey below the bodies of water within America's national parks. So listen, after hearing about all that great content, you know you're going to want to sign up for this. They've got monthly and annual plans available, offering notable savings. Plans start at just $2.99 per month. That's less than a cup of coffee of the cost of one title on a competing on-demand platform. So check out curiositystream.com/twit and use the promo code TWIT during sign-up to get unlimited access to the world's top documentaries and nonfiction series completely free for the first 60 days. That's two entire months free of one of the largest nonfiction 4K libraries around. If you've got an awesome TV, you need to get CuriosityStream. So just go to curiositystream.com/twit and use offer code TWIT at sign-up. We thank them for their support.
Thank you for your support. Appreciate it, CuriosityStream. All right, so we had a long interview, but that doesn't mean that there isn't stuff that's happened. So we're going to do one story from each segment that we have, complete with bumpers, because bumpers make this show roll. Starting, Brian, with the news.
Florence is back from Hobbiton, and we've had a special guest, but that doesn't mean we won't bring you the Android news.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
As the Android world turns. No. So exactly. Did the day of our lives.
The day of our lives.
I'm excited for the post interview condensed All About Android episode. Let's do it. Let's dive in.
All right. The first story, which is just the news story, Android 7.1.1. rolling out for Nexus and Pixel owners this week. Everyone else is going to get this some month in the history of their lives, maybe. In the process, Pixel lost many of its exclusive features as Nexus devices now get touch latency improvements, new emoji, the support tab and settings. I thought that was going to stay as kind of like a specific to the Pixel. The improved camera app with smart burst and exposure adjustments in there. Smart storage for removing backed up media. So that's kind of hitting the Android version. Mm-hmm. Long pressing an app for the app shortcuts, which I never use, by the way. We can talk about that here in a second. Our reset button, because apparently that was requested, and a few other things.
What do you mean apparently that was requested? A reset button is so integral to any sort of tech object, in my opinion.
I'm trying to figure out, so what is that? What is a reset button on a phone? Reset, is that like
it's
restart?
Yeah.
That's restart? Reboot?
Oh, are you annoyed because it's not called restart?
Reset? When I think reset, I think, man, I need to wipe this out to factory settings.
Reset is like reboot. Like, remember on your PC, you press the reset button and reboot the whole machine?
Precisely.
It's a reboot. Yeah.
Okay. But you kind of have that in the power button, don't you?
No. It's just restarting. It's just, it's.
Yeah, it's restart. Oh.
Yeah, it's restart.
So it's just worded weird in the write up. Got it.
Yeah, okay, it's
so
actually restart.
Got it.
I'm so
restart
glad
is good.
We got that out of the
it's
way.
Restart is good.
It's not factory reset. Yeah, it's restart. It's just completely.
I was like, why would you need a button for factory reset? That doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, restart is better. Restart is good. Pixel still retains exclusive access to Assistant. As we were talking about earlier, Pixel Launcher, of course.
Gotta have a selling point, y'all.
Yeah, exactly. Google System UI, which is painted a little bit differently. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Unlimited full res image backup, which I love as a Pixel owner.
Oh, it saved my butt in New Zealand, let me tell you.
So app shortcuts. You love them?
You mean the one where you hold down? Yeah, I don't use them because most of the apps I use do not support that functionality.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem.
I hate to say this, but it feels like a poor man's 3D touch at this point.
I don't know. I see a reason for it.
Yes.
And the apps not supporting it is because it hasn't had support on the OS level. So it's kind of a chicken and the egg kind of thing. And I wouldn't say it's a poor man's 3D touch because nobody uses 3D touch. Like 3D touch has already been presented as a kind of dumb release, you know, like at least the people I've talked to and the stuff that I've read is that 3D touch didn't change the way people interact with their phones. So I don't really think it can get much poorer man than that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, now I retract my comment.
Stick to your guns.
I'm not sticking to that gun because Ron is right.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm giving you this one, Ron.
All right. Okay. I'm sorry, made fun of your Snapchatting on your honeymoon.
I like that we can use the show to, you know,
it's an emotional. Yeah,
let's get it all out on the table.
Building bridges.
This has been an episode.
we're very high off emotions.
All right, so how about this?
Yes,
it's time.
The next segment
for hardware.
Mm-hmm. I know Flo has the next story, but I really think we should try to do a condensed 10-minute version of the show someday where we just bang through all the bumpers. And
We could. If I stay focused. But today, I'm going to focus on the fact that we keep talking about this Nokia-branded Android phone that's apparently finally coming. Apparently, it's actually coming, according to The Verge, in the first half of 2017. That's early next year. Now, this follows Microsoft's acquisition of Nokia's phone business that failed so hard. Ultimately, Microsoft sold the phone division to HMD Global earlier this year, sort of, you know, offloading it. Not really working out here. The brand licensing deal lasts 10 years, and apparently that includes bringing the Nokia brand feature phones back to life and back into the market. I'm not entirely sure that I see the entire point of having a Nokia Android phone.
This feels like a rerun to when we had the return of BlackBerry.
Yeah, that's why I'm stumbling
it
on
does,
it.
Doesn't it?
Yep. Feels like I lived this story already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by living it, I awkwardly interviewed a product manager at BlackBerry about the phone.
Right.
There are a lot of people that have asked over the years, like have wanted, legitimately wanted Nokia's brand of Android devices. I'm be curious to see what we end up with, if we actually end up with an answer to that call or something entirely different, but it happens to have the Nokia name on it, because it is very different. It's just like a brand licensing deal.
I just want to recall to earlier to our Hiroshi interview when he mentioned manufacturers that are players in this game. He mentioned Pixel, Samsung, and OnePlus.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I just want that to sort of rattle in the brain. So that's kind of the companies that are making...
But he's not gonna highlight Nokia in this kind of state because it's not even out yet. I mean, he's talking to But that's a very good point of what you said off the top of his head.
To put that out there, that like it's not even a blip on the radar at this point. It's just a fun little news piece.
Mm-hmm. But what I think is more interesting is what does a Nokia phone with Android mean? Is it like what does the Nokia brand mean? Is it just that there's a logo on it? Is there some sort of Scandinavian design sensibility to the phone?
Does it mean anything anymore? Just like does the BlackBerry name mean anything anymore?
Yeah. Like when I think of Nokia as like a brand that people pursue or a brand that people pursued, at least I do think of the design. I think of like the design quality or the design kind of uniqueness of that Nokia design language as being something that people wanted. Maybe there was a little bit more of something going on underneath the hood, like BlackBerry has its own kind of software ecosystem going on underneath the hood, and they're very devoted to that now. Again, I don't know if that's enough to really pull people over, and it doesn't seem like it is, but
it's a different generation. I mean, like I remember, oh Jesus, now it's like 15 years ago or, you know, 12, 13 years ago, that having a Nokia phone was a status symbol. It's like they had that little red phone that everybody wanted and all this stuff. It wasn't software based. It was completely an external. This is a device that I like the look of and I like the feel of it and I like, you know, everything about it. So that's what I expect to see with these Nokia phones. And, you know, I'll be curious to see if that's what they're going to give us or if it's just going to be another chocolate tablet with Android on it, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's worth noting that Foxconn and HMD have bought Nokia. So Foxconn being a Chinese manufacturer and HMD Global is a Finnish company.
Right.
Still kind of Scandinavian. I mean, still Scandinavian.
Yeah, well, and there's some Nokia, ex-Nokia staffers, you know, people involved with it. So there's still a little bit of that kind of legacy blood,
precisely,
so to speak, kind of mixed in there. Yeah, I guess we'll find out early 2017 what that actually amounts to.
It has to be good and has to be compelling. I don't want to see another reprise of the Nokia Android phone that we had a couple of years ago to MWC, which was kind of just this very, it was kind of
experimental.
It was experimental and it was not, it wasn't really worth any money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for the other hardware. I'm envisioning a world where every single story we ever do throughout the course of the show has its own bumper.
And hey, listen, Jeff Kosmicki is real, and he will make that happen. I'm committing to him, so there it is.
There we go. All right, Ron, what we got?
All right, so yes. While Nokia might be re-entering the market, we might be saying goodbye to Motorola on the wearable market. And Brian, actually, do we have some funeral music for this?
Oh, it's temporary funeral music. We don't know if it's long term. But
all right. Well, Motorola, there it is.
Never gets old.
This is actually really sad.
It is. So the reason for this is that it's reported that Motorola is going to be giving up on smartwatches and they're going to be passing on being involved in the Android Wear 2.0 launch. You know, basically, the Motorola head of global product development, Shakil Barkat, says there isn't enough pull in the market to put a new smartwatch out at this time. Wearables do not have broad enough appeal for us to continue to build on it year after year.
Fair.
So it's questionable as to Motorola will be continuing to make watches running Android Wear.
I mean, kind of significant in the sense that the Moto 360, I feel like in the world of Android Wear, was the first, oh my goodness, I got to have that watch.
Yep.
Like it was the first round watch face. Motorola was really excited. Of course, Motorola was a different company than they are now.
Lenovo, Motorola.
But you know, they were very excited to be part of this. They also followed up a year later with the Moto 360,
which was just as smooth and svelte and fashionable.
I always really liked their approach. Many people panned it, obviously, for the flat tire at the bottom there. But I mean, if Motorola is saying, there's just not enough there for us to like warrant spending any time with this year after year. I mean, I think that is certainly an indication of kind of the category to a larger degree.
I have a theory. So I have a theory about Android Wear. I don't think that a lot of the major OEMs that we know who make our phones are going to stick with it. I think it's going to largely become a way for Google to sort of mainstream, because man, like walking through airports and just seeing, you know, they have the hip cool stores in the airport so you can go shopping, you know, in between flights. And I walked by the Michael Kors store and I walked and by the Fossil store department. And they have their own little display for the Android Wear watches. You don't have people walking in there. You don't have techies like me who are like, excuse me, is this getting Android Wear 2.0? No, you have people walking in there going,
I want a Michael Kors watch.
Yeah. How much is this?
I talked about it a couple weeks ago when I was watching broadcast TV and saw commercials. Now here in New York City, in the subways are covered with Fossil Q ads.
Oh.
You know, which are, and so like every day when I switch from the 7 to the whatever train I take downtown, you know, I've got, and when I walk through the tunnel, there's a big Fossil Q with the Android notification pane on the window on a woman's hand. And it's like, oh, there's Android Wear in the wild. But it doesn't say Android anywhere. It just says Fossil Q smartwatch.
Right.
Exactly. It doesn't say Android anywhere. It doesn't say, runs Android Wear or any sort of those. It doesn't even have like the little Android logo.
Yeah, it's more of a brand extension than it is.
I mean, honestly, I would have walked just past it if the billboard in question had the notification with the Hangouts logo. And that caught my eye. It was the green. And I was like, oh, hey. Yeah.
You wouldn't have paid attention with just the watch face.
Well, no, but I mean, it was clear. I mean, it says smartwatch, but you're kind of, when you're commuting, you're kind of in that zone. But like that snapped me out of it because I recognized it was something like, oh, why am I seeing the Hangouts logo there? But I agree with you, Flo. I think you're right. I think the Android Wear mainstreaming into consumer products that have nothing to do with our tech sphere to what I like to call the normals is what's going to make norms. Android Wear grow. That has to be.
It's the norms and the mills.
Norms.
Yep.
Yes, there we go. And finally, we have this bit of app news.
Bumper.
I think we caught Brian sleeping. Were you sleeping, Brian? Oh, there's a little pillow over there.
Just a delayed reaction.
Oh, okay. All right. Totally on purpose, though, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Man, I was worried there for a second. Google wants you to keep in touch with your friends and your family in case of an emergency, and that's why it just launched Trusted Contacts for Android. So, you know, obviously they had, what was it, Latitude years ago for like tracking location, all that kind of stuff. They ended up folding part of that functionality into Google Plus. It's still there, location services. So if you want to kind of like on a more casual level, if tracking someone's location is casual, you could do that. You could track, you know, if they're sharing their location data with you, you could track where they are.
I'm casually tracking you. I'm not focused on it, but every now and then I just like to check.
I'm not studying where you are right now, but I can find out where you are at any given point of the time of the day.
Do you know how many people use that tracking functionality on the Nextel phones back in the day?
No, dude, it's not even Nextel. It's on iOS. I was hanging out with my friends in San Francisco, and he was like, he opened up an app, and there's all these dots where his wife was, where his kids were like, and I was like, what the hell is that? It was like so freaky. They've got this weird Find My Friends app where you literally see where people are, and that I was like, I would not sign up for that at all. Not that I'm hiding where I am, but it just seems so bizarre. It just like, I don't know, it's
Facebook
weird.
Facebook nearby does that, and that's how I hang out with friends based on that.
What's good to drink?
I live in such a small town.
But here's the thing though, is that I used to use Foursquare, and I guess now I use Swarm, or used to use these apps in that way, where like when I was living in San Francisco, I just open up Swarm and see, oh, there's a bunch of people checked in at a bar, you know, in the Mission. I'll text one of them to see what's going on because they voluntarily said, this is where I am. But this Find My Friends app and Latitude, the way it worked was literally passive tracking, you don't know that the person is looking to see where you are. I think that's weird.
But, and then you forget, and then you realize. Yeah.
If you're having a serious case of FOMO, just go on your app and see where your friends are, and just show up and go, "Hey guys, you forgot to invite me."
That's weird.
But I'm here.
Like, oh, hey, everyone, Ron's here. Ron. Hey.
Why is it me? It's Flo in this example. It's not me. I got invited. Flo didn't get invited, Jason. You and I were out. Flo was the one who had the FOMO.
All right. So all of these things that we just talked about is not what Trusted Contacts is actually about. This is actually a little different. Okay, I was setting the scene, but I'm really happy that we did that.
We really set that scene for you guys.
Really happy that we went there.
If anything, we got casual tracking out of it. I think that's going to be a bit for a long time.
Very well could be. Trusted Contacts is actually for emergency scenarios. So
when I
launch the app, I pick people who I'm okay, who I'm comfortable with knowing that they can get my location at a moment's notice upon their request or my request if I choose to share it with them. That way, if something happens and they want to get in touch with me, they can request that I send them my location. I get on my phone either the ability to decline it or to share it immediately. But if I do nothing for 5 minutes, then automatically that person has shared my location so that they can follow up on it because maybe I'm incapacitated.
My gosh. I really wish Cheaters was still on the air.
I didn't think about that aspect.
Oh
right?
My gosh.
But like you, oh yeah, that's
why
a thing.
Isn't he accepting? Oh, there's his location. We're gonna go get him.
That's not fun at all.
Who you in there with?
Oh god. Yeah.
Could be a thing.
I miss TV.
So there we go. Trusted Contacts is a thing that might
I'll
help you or
this.
Hurt you, depending on your scenario.
I you know what, guys? In all seriousness, I use this with my husband. I always let him know, hey, I'm getting on BART, whatever. Like and if he doesn't hear from me, he does go like, hey, are you okay? I haven't heard from you.
Yeah, right. No,
because,
I've been there.
The world is a dark place.
The world is the world. And 2016 needs to be over. That is it for app news.
You want to end the show there for a second?
That is it for this episode. No, we've got a lot more show.
We do.
We've got more coming up. But before we get to the arena, which is the more that we have coming up, it's time to thank the sponsor of today's episode. That is Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. If you've ever gone through the mortgage process, you know the fruits of your labor is that home, that awesome home that you get to move in at the end. But before all of that is so much process, so much information they have to dig up all over the place. It's not very fun. But you do it because you want the home. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. It's fast, powerful, and completely online. Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation, which removes it from the situation entirely. So if you, like me, hate searching through stacks of old files, paperwork, trying to find that piece of information, man, when it starts asking you this and that about your, the mortgage and where you previously lived, that's always a hard one if it was a really long time ago. Digging all that stuff is just not fun. But with Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share all of that information, share your bank statements, share your pay stubs at the touch of a button. It's going to help you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your unique financial situation. And even better with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all of this with that little computer that's always in your pocket, on your phone, or maybe your back pocket, that tablet, because that's where Ron keeps his tablet if he still uses a tablet. It's a quick online process that you can manage from the convenience of your couch. So if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or to buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/android. That's quickenloans.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. Okay, we aren't going to shortchange you on an arena because we're going to do an arena right now.
So many enter, but only one lives. Arena.
Checking in on last week's vote here. It was bit.ly/AAAvote294. I'm pulling it up to see where we are.
It was a close one, actually. I thought I had a win. But then there was a last-minute grassroots effort around Bowmasters.
Bowmasters is pretty cool.
Yep.
Musical keyboard, though I like it and it's cute, did not resonate at all.
Yeah.
Bowmasters, 51%. Contextual app folder, 44%. Second place, musical keyboard, 5%.
So we're getting down to the wire, we're week 48. Wade County in the chat room, thank you again for keeping track of the stats. Guests get another win. That brings their total up, their first place total up to 16 wins.
Jeez Louise.
Jason is in second with 13. Flo is in third with 10. I'm right behind her in last with 9. And Jason needs to win this week to tie, or at least tie.
Jason, you need to win this week. No pressure.
You need to win. No pressure,
don't
Jason.
Don't let us down, dude. Jeez.
So that said, you came in last. You came in last week, so technically you should go first, but Flo has been gone, so maybe she should go first.
Ooh, that is a good idea. I like that.
Let's do that. First.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you weren't prepared. I'm sorry. I can go first. I've got my phone already.
Oh, that's okay. It's okay. I have my phone already, too.
All right.
Fine. Hey, listen, I wasn't prepared, and I still did the sponsor read. She can do her app.
That's true. All right, good point, Ron. Flo, you're up.
You guys.
Yes.
I just have a very simple app today. It's called A Color Story, and it may seem like another app full of filters to put on top of your photos, and that is mostly
maybe
what
kind
it is.
Of it is, yeah.
But if you followed me on Instagram the last 2 weeks and you saw the pretty green photos I posted of the beautiful country island utopia that is New Zealand, oh. Well, I edited them all with this app.
It's
called A Color Story. All that grunting was me trying to get this right on the screen. Let's take this picture of my husband's feet.
What?
Those are his feet. And we are going to color this. So at the very beginning of importing a photo, you can crop it any which way you like, you know, rotate it, turn it around, whatever you need to do. And then select from a bunch of predetermined filters, which I just really like the way these filters look. They don't look super filtery the way that Vasco Cam does, for instance. I'm kind of over the quote-unquote hipster look of my photos. You know, I just like things to be vibrant and to pop out, you know.
But so the hashtag filter is no longer a popular thing. Now it's all about filter.
Now it's all about making it look like you tossed it through Lightroom and made a bunch of pretty. But you don't want to use Lightroom because that's too much thinking.
Totally.
Ooh, it's time for that.
Who wants to think?
I really like these filters, the ones that come included. They do have, so let's just stick with this one. It's a very aged sort of looking photo. You can pick from different, they're not that expensive. The filter packs, as much as you'd pay for like Vasco Cam, they range anywhere between 99 cents to $3, I believe. I haven't seen anything cost more than $2.99. And then when you're all done, you can just share it, save it and share it out to Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, whatever you want to do. So,
all the places.
A color story. I only have a couple of the filters on here. I have the good vibes and the essentials. So if you're looking to have good vibes, color story.
way to sell it with good vibes. Good job, Flo.
Good vibes, y'all.
Definitely
going to
get the good vibes vote.
It's free to start with in-app purchases. Chill app. And also what's nice is that if you get into an editing craze and you just have like this process that you really like, you can save the editing process.
Oh, that's nice. Like the steps and all that?
Yeah, precisely. You can save the steps.
I like that.
So that's the main selling point of it. But cool. I really like the filters that comes with it because ain't nobody got time for that.
No kidding. It's called A Color Story. A Color Story. Get it and vote. All right? It's important stuff here, people. Okay. My app is called Flychat, and it's kind of like if you like the floating bubble with your messaging thing, maybe you don't. Some people don't. Sometimes I turn it off. Yeah, I go back and forth. But well, let's say you want this for all of your messaging apps, be it SMS or messaging. You want them all to occupy their own bubble of sorts. That's what Flychat is all about. As you can see here, it supports Allo, Hangouts, Messenger, Facebook Messenger, Google Messenger, Slack, Telegram, Twitter. And that's just the apps that I have installed on my phone.
What is going on here?
So you can set them all up. You can customize color and all that kind of stuff. You can go into settings and, kind of tweak it a little bit more, have the badge. Maybe we'll change the theme to dark on Hangouts. Yeah, let's do that. You can make it so that the screen will actually turn on if you get a message from that particular messaging app. All sorts of kind of customizations around each of your messaging apps that you have installed. There are more supported apps that aren't on here. Textra, for example.
Let's I don't mean to boo your app.
Here. WhatsApp is supported. I don't have WhatsApp on here. But anyways, you can set it all up. And basically what this will do is it will intercept any messaging coming on any of these platforms and make it appear in a little bubble. So let me go onto my laptop and go on my other internet account and say, yo, what's up? You know, because that's awesome. And there we go. There I am down there saying, yo, what's up?
Oh, neat.
That's me.
Okay, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, pretty cool. And then if I want to break it out and go into the actual app, I can hit that and that will take me through to the actual app. But you got everything you really need in here. It's just kind of like one messaging floating bubble app to rule them all.
So it does that over showing it in your notification shade?
I still have it in my notification shade.
So it does that over popping it up in your notification shade. So instead of popping in the overlay up top, it just pops up over.
No, actually, it would do that. If I got a Facebook Messenger message here, for example, I'd still get the like top-down toast up at the top.
Okay.
But it would also be in its own little bubble that I can manage and throw around and whatever. So when different services, you know, if I'm stacking them or whatever, I'll have different bubbles for all of those. I'll still get it in my notification shade, as you can see right there, Hangouts. There's all my stuff. And if that app defaults with showing you that kind of like screen down toast, whatever you want to call it, it'll still do that too.
Okay.
One thing you would probably want to manage though is that like Facebook Messenger has its own chat heads. And so you would probably want to either use that one and not here or use this one and not that, because otherwise it'll stack them.
Right.
But yeah, it's just kind of a cool way to bring all of your messaging apps into one floating bubble asaurus called FlyChat. It's free, and there are ads in the free version, so you can remove those with a 99-cent upgrade, and that's really about it. FlyChat. For flies like you.
I actually thought it was like...
You thought you could chat with flies?
Like, what are you selling us
someone's
here?
Making,
Jason?
So, yeah, someone's making that.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
All right.
For a split second, she might have.
There's a good chance. Coming back from New Zealand, maybe. I don't know what they're doing down there.
You never know. All right, I've got your app installed.
All right, so on for my app. All these years, listen, we know each other very well. Jason, yeah. I mean, you and I have known each other for a very long time. Flo, now it's been several years. Did you guys know that I have an adoring love of fonts?
I feel like I've heard this before.
Oh,
yes.
I think I knew this. Yes.
I love typography. I get lost in it. It's fantastic.
You're one of those.
And I've got some friends who are professional letterers. Like I have a friend who letters comic books and he's made a font of his handwriting. Like it's amazing. And now through the power of Android, you can do that too. Fonty, draw and make apps. Draw and make fonts. Is an app that I discovered that basically lets you it used to be that you needed a program called Fontographer that was made by Adobe. And I don't know what the current tool is that they use now, but that was a program for Macs and PCs that allowed you to make apps. But now you can do it with your phone. All you need to do is download Fonty. And then when you start an app, hit new there, Jason, hit new in the lower left-hand corner. What you do is you can name your app. So you can call it Jason's Font if you want to do that or anything else that you might want to call it, right?
Fonty
so you
Jason.
Give it all the information, you know, what's the name of it, who the author was, what your URL is, because people make and sell fonts, and this is something you can do at home as well. So you put in all your information, and then you hit the check mark on the upper right-hand corner. Okay. And now once you have that, they give you the basic basis of an alphabet, each letter, and you can tap on a letter and then it gives you an editor. If you tap on the A, there you go. And so what it does is that grayed out A is just your guide of what an A looks like. But as Jason just did, as you saw there in the video, you can then create what you want your A to be. And you can use it. You can use freestyle hand drawing. If you have a tablet with a stylus, you can get a little more exact with it. But there are tools along the bottom where you can change the thickness of the what you're drawing with. If you tap on the left one, there you go. Left that one. Yep. You should get a little menu. There you go. You can change the thickness of it and the type of point that you have. You know, if you hit on the right side, there's the rounded one versus the sharper one, right? So you can do little things.
It's a confetti.
Very cool.
I don't know.
So it's got a whole bunch of other tools that you can erase, you can fill, you know, if you want to make there some fonts with shapes and stuff around them. But basically what you do is you just create each letter of your font. It also allows you to there's some if you hit on the right, there's some embellishments there. So you can pull in some clip art and stuff like that to pull in. So some, you know, letters where they put a different animal of each one, you can stretch them out and create them and all stuff like that. So if you take the time and if you're artistic enough, you can create your own font, which is cool. So back out of here. And this is the basic editor there.
Oh, I like it. Ooh, that's a good A.
Yeah, you see? So now we don't need to go through every letter, but what you can then do is if you hit the upper right, if you hit the, I'm sorry, the right arrow, you can do a little preview. So type your, see the A is not a regular A. It just, it's your written A. That's your font. Isn't that cool?
That's great.
Right? And so you can preview it. You can see how it looks. And then once you're ready to go, hit the whatchamacallit, the icon in the upper right hand corner.
There we go.
All about Android.
Right.
Okay.
Right there. Now what it is now created Fonty JSON, and you can share the font, and it's going to make a TrueType font file, a TTF file, which is the the Microsoft made open source kind of style font file. This will work on a Mac or a PC, and it will post the font using the Open Font license, and you can download it, and then you can share it with people. That's pretty darn cool.
That is really cool. I love it.
So you can, if you have the patience and if you're artistic enough and you have enough, dexterity with your finger or stylus, you can make an entire font from your handwriting. You can make a font, of whatever kind of graphics and examples. Brian, if you want to cut away from Jason, or we can see Jason make a B. There you go. Cool. But if you want to go back to the Google Play Store and look at the screenshots, you can see some examples of people who have made fonts in the screenshots. Where here they've got little examples of, one with, heroes and a little doodle monsters and other stuff like that. Just examples of what they've done in that. It's really cool. And if you love fonts, it can get really, you can zoom in and do some, that slide in particular shows what you can do with cursiveness and being able to, apply more script and, all neat little kind of stuff. So I think it's amazing. I love fonts. I have so many of them on my computer. Sometimes it takes up too much space, and now I can make my own. So there you go. It's free in the Google Play Store. Even if you're a casual font fan, it's worth checking out just purely to make a handwriting font, which is kind of cool. So
I am taking lots of time to craft perfectly my font collection. S.
Is that how you write? I think it's really interesting. I've never seen how either of you write.
You.
Oh, I have horrible handwriting. Horrible handwriting.
V. Oh, I'm so close. W.
But then you got to do the lower cases, dude.
Lower cases.
I got to tell you, making fonts is a very disciplined thing. It's like you got to do every case. Like keep scroll up that. on that grid. You got to keep going. You got to do all the lowercase instances and everything. Yeah, or scroll left and right. Sorry. Yeah.
Whatever. So. My font is only caps.
Nice.
That's what I think.
Jason, all caps.
All about caps.
All about caps. See, I made that font. I did it. That is my font.
Oh dear.
And would you like me to share it with you? Do you want it? Do you want it? You could write your articles. Submit your articles at Android Central with this font. What do you think? Think they'd like it? That's a really cool app. It's called Fonty Draw and Make Fonts.
Yep.
Nice. Way to bring it. Let's see here. So we've got three apps this week. We've got a color story. We've got Fly Chat. And we've got Fonty Draw and Make Fonts. Go to bit.ly/AAAvote295. bit.ly/AAAvote295. $2.95 and place your vote.
Who's Brian gonna vote for?
We've got the Brian vote about to be registered for Fonty.
Broseph.
Mine
is wrong, by the way. Sorry, BAP.
Oh, did it get changed?
It did.
Okay. Don't go there yet.
Sorry, Flo.
I will change it. And it's all if
Flo's
you're listening,
fault.
There will be one there for you.
Oh,
to
Flo.
Comfort you.
Hold that, Flo.
Oh, see, this is what happens when I like try and do things in advance.
This is what happens when I go.
Oh man, awkward. It's so awkward. Oh my goodness. Hey, we had a great episode today.
We did.
No, we really did. We had an amazing episode. Great. What are we even? Who cares if I put the wrong app?
I know.
We had Hiroshi Lockheimer on the show today.
It was pretty fantastic.
Did you have Hiroshi Lockheimer on your show today?
Somebody may have. We don't know.
Also possible. Okay, never mind. Don't answer that.
We'll find out. Yeah, big thanks to Hiroshi Lockheimer for taking the time out. And thanks to Lily, who was instrumental in setting all of this up. It took a couple of months for us to get there.
It did.
But we made it happen. And we're just super stoked that we got that opportunity.
Extremely stoked.
And thanks to everyone here for facilitating that and moving things along to get it all set up.
Great work, everyone.
Yeah, great work. Completely agree. So much fun. Flo, nice to have you back. Tell people what you want them to know now that you're back to work.
I'm back at work on AndroidCentral.com, so come read my stuff at AndroidCentral.com. And also, you know, of course, you can find me on Snapchat at OhThatFlo. I will be resuming the snapping at the Android Central official snap, and that's Android_Central, if you'd like to follow me there. And I will also be IGing, Instagram storying, all those other acronyms that the kids use.
Is that what
use.
It's called, IG?
I don't know. Those are all the Mills.
Okay.
I don't know. My god sister uses IG. That's how she refers to it. So that's how I call it.
It's very
so I apologize.
Hip.
I get
very
all of
hip.
My information from a 14-year-old girl. Okay. Actually, she's 15 now. But anyway.
Excellent.
AndroidCentral.com.
There
that's
we go.
You can find me.
And oh, that flow on Twitter. What about you, Ron?
Yes. So I've been talking about it the past couple of weeks, but if you haven't checked it out, please check out my new podcast. Me and Tom Merritt are doing a damn fine podcast, which you can find at damnfinepodcast.com. It's the podcast where we're revisiting, rewatching, and reanalyzing Twin Peaks from the first pilot episode.
Oh, is that what you announced while I was gone?
Yep.
Shit, darn it.
It's a damn fine podcast. We've got two episodes out. Third episode comes out tomorrow. We're having a blast doing it. We're going to be doing all two seasons of Twin Peaks, the movie. We're going to get some of the books in there. We're going to be all ready for season three when it launches in hopefully around Q2 2017. So subscribe now. Start listening. Tell us what you think of it. And as always, check out iFanboy over at iFanboy.com for the comic books. It's my other podcast. And yeah, and follow me on Twitter, RonXO.
Fantastic. I still need to listen. I'm sorry. I have not listened yet.
It's okay.
But I'm going to do it. I'm going to add it to my Pocket Cast and put it in my
We're there waiting for you, Jason, when you're ready.
This is great, actually, because we were going to watch through Twin Peaks.
There you go.
Eric has never seen it in its entirety. I have seen it. I have experienced its...
It's pretty spectacular.
It did change my life.
Yeah.
So, at least a little bit. I'm excited. I hope you're doing this, Ron.
Good work, sir. Brian, what about you?
Well, I've been pretty busy with know-how. We've got a few holiday episodes coming up, so if you wanted to do a, well, this is my Twitter page where you can see, actually, when Alex finally lost all hope.
What is happening in this photo?
So, actually, that was from the Christmas photo day, so I kind of buried the lead. Yeah, me and Alex ended up dressing the same one day, and it really frightened him. Yeah, on
Nerds.
Accident. Totally,
Nerds.
Completely on accident, I promise.
This looks like a post-war, like...
He was just so sad.
Yeah.
I think he thought he was the only one that had that Twitch shirt, so...
he was sad?
Yeah.
I would rejoice.
As like a Twitch uniform kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean,
I like that you caught a bit... I like that you caught his sadness in the photo.
Yeah, it really does look
destroyed.
It's a really
good photo.
It's like you can hear Simon and Garfunkel, Hello Darkness in the background of it. But anyway, the point I was getting to is that you can follow me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo and do a lot of projects with Padre, and we're doing a lot of holiday stuff coming up. And then we're also doing CES right after New Year's, so a lot of coverage on that. So
you're going to be at CES.
I will be at CES.
I will be at CES as well.
Cool, we should hang out. If we
probably
have time,
will.
It's going to be busy.
It's going to happen. I wish I was going to CES.
Really?
Hanging out and stuff. Well, I mean, I enjoy CES because of the hanging out and stuff primarily. It's nice because everybody's at the same place. And it's
and you
hard
are in
work,
Vegas.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? It's okay. There are worse ways to spend your time.
It's very true. We could be in Poughkeepsie.
I've never been there, but
I've never been there either.
I've been to Poughkeepsie and I can back that up.
Excellent. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. Of course, I also do Tech News Today and Android App Arena, where I review apps. That's why it's called Android App Arena. And a whole lot of other things. Oh,
yes,
holy cow.
Yes.
Oh,
twit.tv/best of. Help me help you. I need to pre-produce the best moments from this year on All About Android, and I need your help. twit.tv/bestof. Actually, many of the shows on this network need your help. So if you have a particular moment from the year, you loved it, if you happen to know what episode it's from, even better. If you happen to know the time code, that's like best case scenario. But ultimately, just tell us what you want in there, and I will make sure that it gets in there. And we'll hopefully put together a really nice holiday episode for you for while the studio is closed for one full week. But that
also,
is it. What?
Whoa. I wholeheartedly apologize, but I will be on the new Screensavers this Saturday.
No, holy cow.
I had it all ready to prep and talk about, and then Hiroshi happened. And
yeah,
that sort
it's
of
kind of,
wipes
yeah,
my
it
memory.
Wipes it all away.
But yes, please send in your Android questions to...
new Screensavers.
New Screensavers at twit.tv.
There we go.
New and I apologize, I keep forgetting that. Goodness gracious. You can also tweet me, and I'll pass the questions along. It's not even an issue if you,
you know,
need to.
We didn't have any feedback on today's episode because it was so different. There might be some in the inbox. I will look at it and see if we can shuffle
oh,
those over.
I was
to
like, feedback? Have I been gone for 2 weeks?
No. Something pertinent to new screensavers. I'm sure there's something in there, so we'll figure it out. But that is it for this week. Thanks, as always. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA, and we'll get to it next week, even though we didn't this week. Emails and video mail, AAA at twit.tv. Twitter, we are at Android Show. Sometimes we tweet out that we have guests coming up. You know, Hiroshi Lockheimer. Reddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Cast, all over the map. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting sometime around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That is it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.
Thank you and good night.
Take care.